So today's perek in Tanakh is Shoftim, perek Chof Aleph, the final perek in Sefer Shoftim. Getting excited to start Sefer Shmuel tomorrow. Wish we could do Root instead, but we're sort of stuck with the way they organize them. That's what really belongs here, is really Root, is the transition. Yeah. All right, so the last thing that we learned yesterday was that the Milchama, the civil war, had two sides to it. According to the Ramban, even though there's many of the Achronim that are chalek on the Ramban, it seems very, very clear that there were two very different sides to the story of Pelegish Megiva. Both sides were wrong. Both sides suffered, according to the Ramban, equal casualties. 40,000 people lost on both sides. In Binyamin, it included civilian population. The rest of Yisrael, it didn't. And it turned out that Bnei Yisrael did not act properly to some extent. We know for a fact that the Urim V'Tumim answered them in a very, very misguiding kind of way, not exactly what you'd expect of an Urim V'Tumim. The fact that the Gemara explains it as they're asking a little bit unclearly is surely not a sufficient explanation if there isn't something more profound that's involved. And the very fact that in the end and in the beginning of the story, it's seen as part of Bayamim Ahim Ein Melech Bisrael Ish HaYashar Bein Avi Yaseh. So despite the fact that the reaction was, for all intents and purposes, a Malchut type of reaction, in which everybody was acting almost as a superorganism, where spontaneously everybody came together to be Oker the Ra from Yisrael, Ubiarta Ara Mikir Becha, the question, as the Gemara puts it, was absolutely clear. If that was real, why was it only a response to questions of more rather than questions of true morality? So why was it, when it came to the deal, the perek before, and it's actually the contrast, when it came to the question of Avodah Zarah, nobody ever reacted. It was just a smile and a wink. And when it came to this issue, all of a sudden, because it's sexy, everybody goes bananas. How about keeping your morality straight and doing what the Torah wants instead of doing what you want? So when it came to my covet, nobody had anything to say. When it came to covet of Basar V'dam, because that's what it boils down to. Again, that is somewhat dependent on the machloikas. I mean, remember, the Ramban learns that there's no iser at all in sleeping with this pilegesh. First of all, because the old pilegesh is without kedushin. That's kufa machloikas rishonim. Some learn it's with kedushin, but without a ketubah, according to which they were over on Eishes Ish. But the way the Ramban is learning, they didn't really do anything so wrong. It was just the overall conduct that was intolerable. And so, at the end of the story, Klal Yisrael, we saw on the third day, came to recognize what it was that they had done wrong. The army fought while the rest of the Am did teshuva, and it brought korbanos to indicate that they considered it to be a miracle that they got out of this thing alive, even though they were 20-1 against Binyamin. And in the end, we find today that as they looked back at the result of what had happened, they were devastated. Because the bottom line was that what had began as an action against against the town of Givon had ended up being total war. I mean, so not just a civil war, but an absolute total war in which they went out and treated all of the Arei Binyamin as basically the way you would do to an Ir Nidachas. I mean, burnt it down, destroyed the population. People that hadn't been chayte b'klal, I mean, it was worse than an Ir Nidachas. It was horrific. And so today, we get to see the worst part of it all, which was that it was conceived initially as tribal side. V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah leimor. Ish b'menu lo yitein b'to l'vinyamin li'isha. They had destroyed all of the women in Binyamin. Well, if there's any escapees, they can all drop dead. This should be the last generation of Binyamin. No one will allow their children to marry into Shevet Binyamin. This is unbelievable. So in other words, what we're really looking at is an attempt of extirpation. Should be nothing left of Binyamin. I mean, this is simply outrageous. Now, the Gemara says that L'chatchila, they took the Nevi'as of Meish Rabbeinu, of Yaakov Avidu, giving to Yosef that the Shnei Vanecha Noladimli, the Ephraim U'Menashe K'Ruvei V'Shimon, they took that as an indication that Yaakov Avinu was aware of the fact that one of his children wouldn't make it, and therefore he was providing an alternative to the Yud Beis Shvatim by creating Ephraim U'Menashe. Unbelievable. Then the Yerushalmi says this. Then they realize, wait a minute, but then it says, Melachim, that was before Binyamin was born, and must be a reference to Binyamin. So now they realize, and this is the ultimate Ein Melech B'Yisrael, they realize the Melech is supposed to be coming from Binyamin. And in fact, I mean, Lamaisa, Shaul, came from a marriage that takes place in this parak. So that Shaul HaMelech really is directly related to the story of Pelegish Begiva. Of course, in the most powerful interrelationship between the sugyas, the story of Rut and the Malchus of Yehuda comes from Sodom. The story of Shaul and the Malchus of Binyamin comes from quasi-Sodom. That cannot be coincidental, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies that in the, according to the Gemara in Yavamas, Matzati David Avdi, Echan Matzativ, B'Sodom. So that means that it was part of the entire development of the Malchus that it has to come from Sodom. If that's the case, it can't be a coincidence that we end with these epic words, that this becomes both the transition to Malchus Shaul and the transition to Malchus Beis David, because both come from exactly the same story of the Pelegish Begiva. You'll notice we saw how the psukim are literally parallels to each other, almost word for word, in the two sugyas. So that means that actually Shmuel is pointing out some of the most fundamental elements of Malchus. And it's not surprising, therefore, that in the approach of the Ramban, the very subtle distinctions between acting in a Malchus fashion without a Melech, not being the equivalent of Malchus, in the end, everyone that worked that way ended up doing whatever the heck they felt. Because ultimately, when mobs act, they do not act as a Malchus. When a mob acts, everyone is acting out his worst fantasies. It's just that this gives him an opportunity to do it. And this is the way the Ramban is identifying the mixture of drives that took place in Pelegish Begiva. So here they were acting as if they were a Malchut, and as if they could make gezeiros, and as if they could put on all types of chiyuvim on everybody and determine that we'll just ignore the Beit Din of Binyamin and we'll do what we want, because after all, Melech parets voselo derech. But it wasn't that way. A mob isn't a Malchus. And that Ishe Hashar Bein Avi Aseh means you need to distinguish very clearly between acting in a public tzibur fashion versus acting with leadership. And it's not the same thing at all. And therefore, this Shvua was seen by them subsequently as being an absolute disaster. A disaster that turned out to be on exactly the same level as the disaster that came from Benot Slofchad, and the insane way that Benot Slofchad were taken out of context by the people of Machir ben Menashe, that created the whole problem with Yiftach, that brought about the whole horrific story in the end with the Avimelech and so on. All of this was because of the craziness of the fact that people were identifying themselves in ways that were ethnic and were personal and became more and more divided in the end, until it was literally Ishaya Shabbin Avi. It's very similar to the situation today, in which people act as mobs. There's no real leadership, in which reactions, the spontaneous reactions, are always built on things that have nothing to do with Torah, even where they're led by supposed G'dayle Torah. They're all secular issues that people respond to. The real issues in the Torah, nobody's concerned with. And what you have is the appearance of some type of order and shlita, whereas in actual, it's completely chaotic and everybody's doing exactly what they want to do. And this is viewed as a necessary precursor to Malchus, because Malchus has to coagulate out of a period in which indeed things must come together in a natural kind of fashion, as we'll see when we get into Shmuel. And so what had happened over a year is they realized that they had made a terrible mistake in the drasha, in a sense. But this event becomes now the source of Tu B'Av. So the same way that we celebrate on Tu B'Av the end of the mistaken period of Benot Slofchad, the other reason for celebrating Tu B'Av is the end of the time in which the Shvuah was Chal, says the Gemara. So just like the Shvatim could marry one into another, it also became clear that they could marry into Shevet Binyamin for a completely different reason. And so they were completely wiped out by this. And so they cried out to Hashem with a great crying, Hayatazot b'Yisrael. What a horrible thing. How could such a thing have happened? Li'ipaked hayom b'Yisrael shevet echad. That we should have lost one of our shvatim. There's a beautiful, beautiful pasuk that the Medrash identifies as referring to this kind of situation. It says, Gam kol yamav b'choshech yochal v'kas harbev v'choyo v'kotzef. What's the kotzef? The human condition is v'kotzef. Whatever the heck you say is so outrageous that ik'tzifu l'akadosh baruch. What a mishigas. You're turning to me and you're saying, oh Lord, how did this happen? Maybe because you're a bunch of idiots?
Us. Why are you forsaking me?
What do you mean? What is this? You're asking me.
To do this.
It's the old, I sent the helicopter. Yeah, I didn't say that. Exactly that story. You saw what happened the first day. You saw what happened the second day. Obviously something was wrong. So now you figure out what's wrong is I didn't say Binyamin, my brother. Do I kill him completely? I said Binyamin. I should have said Binyamin, my brother. Boy, that's a great tikkun. So this is exactly, this says the Medrash, that's exactly the point. As if it's all God's fault. And so again, they did teshuva, recognizing that this was crazy. And so they needed to figure out what they could do to rebuild Binyamin. No, because the next day it says Vayashkimu Amen, indeed they brought Oilos Shlomim.
Right,
so the Oilos is a tikkun, says the Rabban, for Yur Alev. So that was the Yur. Vayomru v'nei Yisrael. Mi asher lo ala bekal mikol shiftei Yisrael el Adonai, ki ashua gdola itala asher lo ala el Adonai amitzpah, leimor mot yumat. It was more than that. This is background now material. Up front, they said, anybody that does not participate, this was after the original spontaneous coming together. So it says there that they, Binyamin became aware that they came to give mitzvah. They said, Dabru, how did this happen? In the course of that Dabru, they were in mitzvah, in front of God. Every mitzvah, by definition, means lifnei Elokim. And they made a cherem hakal. Now, this is the makar that the Gemara brings for the power of a cherem. That the entire tzibur could be mechayev of death to anybody that didn't participate in the war. So, it's clear now that there is a solution for Binyamin. Because the same people who didn't participate also never took upon themselves the shvua either. And so, vayinachamu b'nei Yisrael al Binyamin achiv. And vayinachamu means, as Rashi says, changing the way that you look at it. Li'inachem. That's what we say about Hashem, right? Vayinocham Hashem ki asat adam ba'aretz. Changed his mind. They realized that this was horrific, what had been done. Vayomru nigda yom shevet echad mi Yisrael. This is crazy. We've uprooted a shevet from Klal Yisrael. How is it possible? And so again this, as the Gemara says, came through the drush of the pasuk, that they recognized that the Yaakov Avinu had been told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there was going to be a shevet and a malchus from that shevet. So, they asked themselves, we know that 600 men had escaped, and they were there for 4 months, if you recall. It's the last thing that we learned. What are we going to do? Who are they going to marry? Now we really screwed it up. Did anybody not show up? Nobody could remember seeing anyone from Yavesh Gilad, and indeed they did a census. You know where Tirat Zvi is? Yavesh Gilad is directly across Tirat Zvi. And, yeah, along the river, which is Yavesh here, it's called Yavesh. It's Yavesh Gilad. It's still called Yabes. They sent 12,000 of the army. The violence isn't over yet. You know, you think Cold Mountain was something. Let me tell you. So they went to destroy the town of Yavesh Gilad for not having participated in the war, including the women and children. But they made a special dispensation. But this time, instead of killing all the women, keep the virgins. So kol zachar v'kol isha yodat mishkav zachar tacharino. Any woman that has been with a man, get rid of. They're part of the Yavesh Gilad scene. But Vayimtzu'u miyoshved yavesh Gilad arba meot na'ara betula, asher lo yada'a ish l'mishkav zachar. They did discover, however, 400 betulot in yavesh Gilad. These were going to be the brides for Binyamin. What did they have, gynecologists? So the Gemara says, no, it's not funny. I mean, were they going to ask somebody, you know, shall we kill you or did you sleep with me? Men? Never look at them. Exactly. So the Gemara in Yevamah says this really wild way of identifying your betulah without getting invasive. You have her sit down on a barrel of wine, an open barrel. So if she's a betula, the blood supply in the womb is so rich, it rapidly picks up the alcohol from the air, and then you smell alcohol on her breath. But if she's a betula, then the wine never gets in because it's not enough of an opening to get the air exchanged with the womb.
The original test.
So they could detect the alcohol if she was a non-betula. And that was the end. This was death for the breath analyzer, let me tell you. So they then had themselves 400 women for the 600 survivors. That usually spells disaster. Well, but let's see what happens.
And these 400 are what origin exactly?
The women that were living in Yavesh Gilad, which were the only ones that did not participate in the whole story.
But they're from Shevet.
No. There were no women left of Sheva Binyamin. These were from the other side of the Yarden. They hadn't participated in the war against Binyamin. That's what they did wrong. So then, Vayishlchu kol ha'edah v'yedabru b'nei Binyamin asher b'sela Rimon. Remember that they had the 600 survivors hiding out in Sela Rimon. Vayikru lahem shalom. They told him that they're sorry about what had happened. It's, you know, 40,000 people was a mistake. You can repopulate. You repopulate the Shevet. Vayashav Binyamin be'etahi. And so they came back. Now, this is another important issue. What's going to happen to Binyamin's land? This we just saw in Baba Basra. But first of all, the question is, I mean, we captured Binyamin. Do we take over their land or not? Well, I mean, that's the question. Maybe only to the survivors should take their chelik, but everything else belongs to the victors. That's the first issue. I mean, then the other issue is that you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be basically pulling in nachala from elsewhere. Remember, each one of these B'nai Binyamin are going to end up being very rich, because if they're allowed to keep the nachala, then that means 600 people now own everything. They now own everything. So they come back to their nachla. They didn't find sufficient women. Obviously, 400 doesn't exactly fit 600. The people, of course, having blamed the Lord, felt very bad for what happened to poor Binyamin. So, you know, they need to make up for it now. What are we going to do for our poor brother who has gotten wiped out like this? So, vayomru ziknei ha'edah, mana selo notarim lanashim. What are we going to do for the other 200 women? Kinishpedami Binyamin isha, nobody is left for Binyamin. Vayomru, they made a takona. Yerushat pleita la Binyamin. That all of the nachla of Binyamin is viewed as a pleita. In other words, it's the leftovers of the shevet. No other shevet's allowed to take anything. And not only that, but as the Gemara in Baba Basra says, what it means is that any daughter of Binyamin who ends up being a yoreshet nachala, she's going to be awfully rich, a multimillionaire heiress. And the only way to provide for Binyamin's future is to make certain that those daughters do not pass on a Yerusha to other Shvatim. And there's not that many men to go around. So it's very likely that they will marry out of Shevet. And therefore, we need to make a takana. There will be no Yerusha Tabat under these circumstances, because otherwise, until they rebuild their population. Otherwise, we're going to end up messing up the entire concept of Binyamin. So therefore, Yerushat played Tala Binyamin. This became another takon of the Tzibur. V'lo yimachesh shevet miYisrael, and that way we'll be able to rebuild them. V'anachnu lo nuchal latet lehem nashim mibnotenu. Now what are we going to do now about the women? We can't give them women from our own daughters, because all of us have said, kinishpu b'nei Yisrael lemor, arur noteni shal Binyamin. So now we're in real trouble. There's been every year a holiday, maybe it's the end of harvest holiday in Shiloh. And that's the Shiloh. At the time, obviously, everybody knew where Shiloh was because that's where the Mishkan was. But speaking to generations later who had no idea where Shiloh was after it was destroyed. So this is the Shiloh, which is Tzafon El Beit El. It's north of Beit El to the east of the road, Mizrach HaShemesh L'Mesila, to the main highway that is still the same Mesila. Ha'olah mi Beit El Shchema. So the road that goes from Ramallah, basically, all the way to Shchem. Well, that's the road that we go through here, past Shuafat, and we go up the Shuafat road. That's that Mesila. To the right of that Mesila, Mizrach HaShemesh, as you're going north, is Shiloh. And south of Livona. So in other words, between Beit El and Livona, to the east of the road, is Shiloh. And so they gave over to Bnei Binyamin. Now, obviously, what we're doing over here is we're just simply being Mekatzer. In other words, the Posik doesn't want to tell us over the whole Diyun in the Beis Din, which obviously was where this came from. So it just tells us first the fact, Hinecha Hashem, and then blah, blah, blah. We understand what that meant. And here is where it came out. This is what they told Bnei Binyamin, which, of course, is what they had decided in the Beit Din. So, Vayitzavu et Bnei Binyamin Lemor, okay, this is what you're going to do. L'chu v'araftem bakramim, hide in the vineyards. This is the original Pirates of Penzance. So you, it's the Pirates of Penzance. We got to grab the girls as they're dancing around. So this is what you're going to have to do. Uri'item v'hine im yetzu benot shilo l'chu b'mecholo. The girls come out and they dance in the highway in this holiday in the area between the vines. Then jump out v'yatzatem in akrabim. Grab a wife. So the 200 of you, now this, of course, is exactly what we do, is essentially a Tu B'Av. The Benot are Yotzot, they're Cholot, exactly as the Benot Shiloh, and they say, they start arguing, what kind of wife would you want? Yofi, Mishpacha, Shem Shamayim, but it's exactly this ceremony which was made Al Zecher, this event, is one of the main tamim for Tu B'Av. Again, the tremendous, tremendous stress on the focus that we've had throughout the Sefer. Not only this Sefer, from Yehoshua, on the relationship of Yerusha's Eretz Yisrael to women. You know, the entire thing was defined ethnically by women. Yerusha-wise, by women. Love of Eretz Yisrael during the Midbar, by women. The only ones who survived from Mitzrayim, by women. The interrelationships, whether it's in terms of Pelegish Begiver, in terms of Yiftach, or the one takana that happened during the whole period was Devorah, Ein B'Yisrael, Ad Shekamti Devorah. It was the only time that really anything was mitukan for any real significant period that changed something. This was a period that essentially defined the problems and the tikkun, and we saw this even in the relationship of Manoach and his wife, I mean, even in small details of the relationship to Bonais. Bechlal became the definition of our entire Yerusha. And this becomes now the Nechama from the Churban. The Nechama from the Churban begins at Tu B'Av. The Nechama from the destruction of the Luchais is on Yom HaKippurim. Those two Nechamas are celebrated the same way. The Banos are Yotzer, Slachu, and they do essentially Bachur Sainachare, which is how the whole Sefer ends here. It's just remarkable. And so
they get around the curse by that.
Matabuch.
So they get around the curse by that.
Yeah, we're finishing. We're going to finish it. We're going to finish. Vaya, ki avo avotamo acheyem. So then they're going to, obviously, the family's going to, what is this? No Shidduchim, no Avta. You know, and you're not even supposed to be married. Into the other Shvatim. What's going on over here? We are Marno Aleihem. So then we will say to them, there's different ways of understanding. The Pashto says that the Zakenim are saying this. So we will say to them, because they're going to come to us to interfere, to the Beis Din, who are Mesakim. So we will say to them, Chanunu Otam. Be Mechanein them. Let them have the daughters. Ki lo lakachnu ish ishto b'milchama. So this is more mashma, that it's them speaking, Bnei Binyamin, but the whole rest of it is mashma otherwise, in which case we'll have to say, lo lakachnu, which we were not able to take enough wives in the milchama against Yavesh Gilad to be able to give all of them. And ki lo atem netatem lahet ka'et tesham. Well, you didn't give them the wives. So that it should be you have nothing to worry about being over that you were Ne'esham because you were over on the Shvuah. they took it themselves. Now, if you learn that it's the Bnei Binyamin that are talking, and they're saying, Bimechanein the girls to us, because we were unable to get ourselves a wife, then we'd have to say, Ki lo atem natatem lahem, which would be kilu. Kilu, if, which is often occurs, kilu, if you would have been giving it to us, then it would have been a disaster. You would have been chayav misa, you were over on the cherem, and so on. That's why we had to do this outrageous thing, but obviously we would much rather have done it through proper contacts with the family and so on. And therefore, this way they get the other 200 girls.
Couldn't they have been shoel on the cherem?
Yes, it's interesting. Some of the achrenim ask, as a matter of fact, the Akedas Yitzchak has a big discussion about it. Why not simply be shoel? Can't you be? First of all, that's not so pashut, because it has a din of a nether shoda barabim, and it's a nether avarabim. It's not so pashut. He discusses some of the issues. But the other thing is that since initially, certainly in terms of Yavesh Gilad, and he asks also, why weren't they shoel on Yavesh Gilad, to save Yavesh Gilad after they'd seen there was so much bloodshed? Because that was one of the biggest problems of people not participating. And they felt that that cherem was essential to be made. And at one point, we need to show that we don't live disassociated lives, and that that's worth dying for. So they felt that they didn't want to be shoel even on that. Okay, here the question is, can you be shoel? Maybe they would have been if it was mutter, if there wasn't another alternative. But lemaisa, because this was the only thing that had been done by all Yisrael, except for the Maisa B'nei Gad V'nei Reuven, which relates exactly to the same issues of Nachla and so on. So they were in shoel. Vayasu chen b'nei Binyamin, and so indeed, that's what they did. Vayisu nashim lemisparam, they took only the missing women, minam ha'cholalot asher gazalu, the women that they kidnapped. Vayelchu vayashuv el nachalatam, vayivnu et ha'arim vayishvu behem. And so they went back to their Nachala, which the rest of the nation protected, even though it was tremendous. I mean, they couldn't possibly have worked that size of a Nachala in the first generation or two, but that was left for them. And so from there, everyone went back to a sheva, to a mishpacha, each individual. And of course, this now is a reversion to the situation. It was at the beginning of the Sefer when it actually took place. And this is because Bayamim Ha'im Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Ish ayashar beinav ya'aseh. So the same ish lenachalato became each man for himself again, leading to all of the kilkulim that we saw later in this Sefer. And so these last prakim become now the segue to the beginning of the concern for the building of a malchus. It's clear that this is not going to work. Klal Yisrael cannot exist as an ish, cannot exist as a yashar beinav, and it cannot exist without the whole concept of arvus and interrelationship. And therefore, all the other attempts at Shvita ad hoc failed, except for very local tikkunim, 40 years, 80 years, but essentially tikkunim that didn't spread, and it was time for a new paradigm.
How long a period of time between the Shvua, between the Nether and the Cherem, I'm not taking women from being women, and...
This was 4 months later.
4 months. Yeah. That's all.
That's
I always had this impression that it was like an extended period of time.
No, it was the Shvua. They made the party on Tu B'Av after the next generation was concerned that this was a permanent Isser of marrying into Binyamin. That was another generation. That was 20 years later. Ah. But there they were Deresh Ish Mimenu, that the Shvua was only called on that door and not on their children. And that became part of the Tuba.
So then they could marry naturally. This took place at the beginning of Shoftim?
Yeah, this actually took place during the period of Kushan Rishatayim, where there weren't even any Shoftim.
So where does this begin?
Ah, you're going to have to go back to the web.
Yeah.
This is a